Welcome to I'm Obsessed With This, the Netflix podcast about the shows and films viewers cannot get enough of. Today I'm joined by comedian and actress and star of The Wrong Missy on Netflix May 13th, Lauren Lapkus. And later I'll chat with Trixie Mattel about everyone's favorite movie about Stalker Channing making a mental note of a drag queen's Adam's apple, to Wong Fu, thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. But until then, hello Lauren, how are you?
Hi, sorry I interrupted your intro
there was an obvious break for talk back, but I had to fill in this thing because I got a sudden interview with Trixie Mattel that we're throwing onto this episode. So that's
so great.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. How are you in quarantine? How is everything?
I'm doing okay. I mean, truly just grateful that I'm able to stay home. And yeah, I mean, it's so crazy. I think I've had, all of the emotions on the possible spectrum throughout the last few weeks. And I'm now leaning into okay, this is my life now. And I'm just inside now.
Yeah.
It's becoming a little easier to adapt to, I guess.
It's funny how the emotions on the chart are sort of just for a while, they were just sort of erupting at random. They didn't really make any sense.
Yes.
It was just okay, now you're this one.
I know. The first couple weeks, I feel like I was just sobbing randomly, and then I was laughing and being weird, and then just losing my mind. It's very, very crazy.
Yeah. Well, what have you been, watching or listening to or reading that's been kind of chilling you out or giving you comfort? Is there anything that's been working, some sort of media medication?
Oh yeah, I definitely prescribe to media medication. I watch so much TV and play video games. I started playing Animal Crossing, which has been a new development for me.
me too.
It's a very you were on there. Oh my god, we should exchange codes.
Oh yeah, we have to. I need to know your turnip prices.
Yes. Thank you. It's a very it's a very soothing game. I find it very comforting. I truly have never wanted to play that game, and I've heard about it for years. I saw Chrissy Teigen tweeting about it for years,
yeah.
And I've just been what is that? And now I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
So I play it every day. I have to earn my bells and pay back my debts to Mr. Nook, and
Mr.
it's just
Nook.
A lot of work.
Oh my God, and his children, his sons.
Oh my God, his sons just, they don't stop talking.
They always want something from you. Oh my God. The way they follow you around the store too.
I know, with their little flags. I mean, they're just obsessed with me. I am finding that to be very soothing though. Going into that world and tuning out, and you just kind of, if you play with a friend and you meet them on their island, there's no stakes. It's very fun. Yeah.
It's funny to me that it's really just work, because it's okay, I gotta go do chores. I have to go chop some wood and pick fruit and sell it.
And I didn't know it was gonna be like that. Now I'm okay, well, I'm 198,000 bells in debt. I have to get to work. I better go chop some trees. It is a little stressful, but it's that kind
it's
of
good,
meaningless stress.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's good stress.
It's really fun. And so I've been doing that, and I've been watching a lot of TV. So I got a new show that I got addicted to.
Oh, no.
Marrying Millions. Have you heard of this show?
Oh, no. Marrying Millions.
Oh my God. It's on Hulu. It's an A&E show. I feel like every network now just does crazy reality shows, and they don't care. It's about couples where one person is a millionaire and one person is definitely not. And they are dating that person, and you can't tell if they're really in love or if they're trying to just get their money or what the deal is. And it's very real. It's I really think the couples are all very real and authentic couples.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know what everyone's secret motivations are. But
are they getting, is every episode a different couple?
No, there's four or five couples that they kind of flip around in each episode.
Okay.
Do you watch 90 Day Fiancé?
No, and I've watched one episode of it, and I've made a mental note that I have to finish it because I've watched one episode and I loved it. And I was I have to do all of this.
Literally the best show on TV, and there are so many spinoffs. So you have endless hours of viewing ahead of you, which I'm jealous of.
I it's funny, I keep wanting to watch I'm maybe I'll finally start The Sopranos or something. Maybe I'll do this prestige-y thing that I'd never watched, but all I can really take in is garbage, just crap. So
same.
It seems like the perfect show for right now.
Well, no, on the first couple days of the quarantine, I was I'm going to watch a classic film I've never seen every day. And I did it for 2 days. And then I was okay, I'm going to keep watching. Yeah, those were good. And now I'm going to watch all this garbage that I love watching every day anyway.
What else have you been watching other than those things and The Goop Show?
Oh my God. Well, Tiger King, obviously. Watched that. I've been watching, I watched a movie on Netflix that I really liked called Uncorked. Have you seen that one?
No. Why do I, is that,
it's
what is
new.
That about?
It just came out. It's okay. About a guy who's like trying to get his sommelier, not license. I don't know what it's called, but
okay.
He's trying to learn about wine.
is it a documentary or is it?
No. It's just a scripted movie. And
okay.
I really enjoyed it. That was really a fun one.
Has Netflix been recommending strange things to you lately? Like, have you been watching so many weird things that the algorithm is sort of messed up? Like, I'm wondering how quarantine is affecting, like, our home screens.
I think it's actually getting, like, better. Like, my algorithm... like, it's starting to, like, really understand that, like, I want to watch bad things.
My whole viewing schedule has changed since then. Like, I'm watching more stuff in the morning, which is rare and very nice. Like, why not?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of nice to, like, put something on. Well, that's the thing, too, is that I'm finding that, like, I do watch a lot of mindless TV in general, mm-hmm. but then when I put it on now, it'll start to, like, grate on me because I'll have it on for, like, 8 hours.
Are you still watching? Yes. Yes.
And I'm like... And even just like the shows that I love, I'm like, can you turn? I need it to be off. Like, I need like silence. Like, I'll push myself to the limit, but then it's silent and I get scared again about life. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is there.
I got to say really quickly, we talked about Between Two Ferns, the movie on this podcast a few episodes ago, and it's really funny. Like, that's the sort of thing
thanks.
That I want to be watching right now. Very good.
Me too. I mean, like, mindless sort of fun comedy. Like, no, there's no, like, you know, nothing serious that you have to take in with that. It's fun
just
laughs,
like,
and
laugh. I watched The Naked Gun like 2 nights ago and I hadn't
yeah.
seen it in
oh,
years, and I was
perfect.
Like, this is, and I think I laughed harder at it 2 nights ago than I ever had in my life, and I've seen it so many times, and I was like, this is the stuff. This is good.
Yeah. Well, like, I watched Hook the other night and I was like, this is like peaceful, nostalgic, mm-hmm. like, I it's just like it takes your mind somewhere else, and that's fun too.
And I think that sort of takes us into the next topic. Speaking of taking our minds somewhere else, The Goop Lab.
Yes, I watched it. So it aired in January, and I watched it all within 2 days, I think. I was in Pennsylvania working on a movie for a weekend, and the weekend is now connected to the Goop Lab in my mind because that's what I was doing when I wasn't shooting. So I loved this was like perfect for me. Like, I don't know what that means, but like, I loved it so much, and I kind of went into it like thinking I was going to make fun of it, mm-hmm. or, you know, it'll be fun in that way. And mm-hmm. I just got completely into like every idea they had. Like, I want to do every single thing.
Yeah. I went into it like expecting to make fun of it too and be like, oh, this is just going to be like pseudoscience that's going to piss me off. But then by the end of it, I was like, I really want to be both rich and friends with Gwyneth Paltrow because this seems fun. Like, I want to try all these things. Why not?
I know. And if you had a rich friend like that who was just going to pay for it, yeah. you're like, this is just great. Like, there's no problem with this. Like, I looked up immediately how much it costs to have that guy, like, not touch me, but move my entire
oh
body.
Oh, my God. The Julianne Hough
and
thing,
yes. It's $2,000 an hour. Like, that's not sustainable. Like, I don't know. Someone needs to give me free sessions.
After this, he got even more popular. Like, maybe he's,
I know, and then
$500 an hour now.
I'm sure it's gone up. And he's like teaching like those guys how to do it. He has a couple people he's teaching, which I'm skeptical of. Like, I don't know. I didn't feel great about the session where like he's teaching that man how to do it.
Oh, yeah.
It seemed like he's, you know, like he was like, the guy was like touching that woman's like sacrum or whatever, and he's like, it's so soft, and I'm like, okay, yeah, like, move on.
Like, yeah, it's like, I don't need a franchisee to do this. I want the real guy.
Same. Yeah, I only want the real deal. But I would, if it was much cheaper to go the other guy, I'd probably try that too. Who cares?
I'm really interested in the ice guy, the cold water guy.
The,
I was like,
okay,
I'm fascinated.
Wim Hof?
By the, yes, yes. The show has a way of digging into your brain and making you think, like, what if you did this? What
totally.
If your entire life changed by, you know, submerging yourself in 38 degree water every day for the rest of your life?
I know.
I can't get these things out of my head, even though most of my brain is like, this is bullshit, this is bullshit, this is bullshit. I'm like,
I know.
I need to try it.
Well, like with that one, like they had like proof that he had, you know, helped people not, like, they would, you know, he taught the people this method of, like, breathing mm-hmm. and then using cold water and blah, blah, blah. And then they put, like, what did they put? Like, shots of, that would cause an illness.
Oh, E. coli.
And the,
well, he
okay, that's
E.
what it was. Okay, yeah. Yes. So they, that's so crazy. And then, like, the people who did the breathing technique didn't get infected. And the people who didn't breathe did. I'm like, this is, that's unreal.
It's just,
that's
like,
fascinating.
Hear you say, it's just bonkers to just hear
no,
you
it sounds
recount
so
what
fake.
Happened. And I've already watched it. And in the first episode, whenever he took the mushrooms and just started sobbing, I was like, I would give anything to microdose on mushrooms right now and, like, sob in the arms of a stranger in, like,
oh,
a hut.
Oh, my God, I
that
know.
That sounds so
well,
great.
You know what's also kind of interesting? I heard that with this series, they aired different episodes in different order, like, depending on what, like, your algorithm. So, like, my friends would get a different first episode than I did. Like, I, because mine didn't start with the healing one. It started with the energy healing thing or whatever, but
oh, that was my last
so
one.
It's like they kind of like, oh, that's weird.
Oh, that's really
isn't that
see,
weird?
Even that, like, I don't know what the implications of that even are, but I'm like, wow, fascinating. Like, Goop Lab is
I know they know me.
Were you a Goop person before all of this? Did you read Goop? Did you, like, care about Goop stuff?
I'm, like, half in with Goop. Like, I follow Gwyneth Paltrow, and mm-hmm. I will sometimes go to the Goop website out of, like, just curiosity and boredom. But usually what happens is I'll go to, like, to their shopping section and then yeah. just get mad because everything's, like, so expensive and I don't need any of it. And, like, it just bothers me. Mm-hmm. But I'm still, like, fascinated and kind of, like, love the idea of, I just love her too. Like, I just think she's so cool. And yeah. like, she made that candle that, like, is like her vagina or whatever. Like, she's just, like, an interesting person. And I feel like she's getting cooler, like, the older she gets mm-hmm. and, like, the weirder she gets. Oh, and yeah. how about the vagina episode?
That woman, whatever the doctor's name, she was recently profiled in the New York Times as well.
She's 90 something. Like, she looks so young, and I'm like, it's from orgasms? Like, I don't understand. Like, she looks like she's, like, 70 maybe. I also was, like, really shocked by them just showing a bunch of vaginas. Like, it's kind of crazy how that's, like, groundbreaking, but it was mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like that.
No.
And I was like, they do all look different. Okay.
Fascinating.
Yeah,
it's sort of shocking that I was so ready to just laugh and laugh and laugh at this thing. And I'm just, like, resting my chin on my fist, like, peering in close to the TV, like, huh, tell me more about this.
I know. And then I was, like, telling everyone to watch this. I was like, you have to see this one. Like, oh, my God, like, the people, like, everything. They, like, I was, like, so blown away by every episode. Mm-hmm. I think the one episode I was, like, not as excited about but still liked was the psychic episode.
Yeah.
Where they kind of, like, try, because there was one moment where someone had, like, an amazing psychic moment mm-hmm. where they kind of described why, like, this, like,
she
painting,
like,
that
the painting, yes.
She, yeah. Like, she, like, said everything, like, about it. Like, mm-hmm. she, like, just said it perfectly. But they kind of had no other examples, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there was one where, like, the woman was, like, being, you know, red, and then someone else in the room is crying, and she's like, it's actually about
me. It's
me,
it's my,
like,
dad, well, or kinda, whatever, yeah.
I'm like, it's kind of good, but I, like, I love mediums, and I love all that kind of stuff. I think it's interesting. I like the Long Island medium. But I also really think that you can fool someone with that stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I stand.
And I think
that.
The Long Island medium, even though I don't, like, I totally don't buy into any of that stuff, but, like, the Long Island medium is fun to watch. Like, that's a good personality.
Yeah.
And this woman was just sort of like, okay.
Yeah. And there's something about taking it so seriously that, like, when you're saying that you can learn it and that it's not necessarily, like, a gift that someone randomly has.
Yeah, I lose interest.
I have a harder time with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, no, I want you to be really special and I want you to be the draw. But something about that, even just the way that this show messed with my brain, I like that episode wasn't convincing.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I feel fully convinced by all these episodes, but not that one. And there was the scene with the one staffer who was extremely skeptical and then remained skeptical. And at the end, the woman was saying, like, is there something involving, what does she say, like, a donkey or Shrek? And the woman is like, no. I was like, okay, this is fine. It's okay that I can think this is bullshit. It sort of made me more comfortable with believing the rest of it. You know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, well, even with, like, the guy who was doing the sort of energy pulling thing, mm-hmm. like, there were a couple employees who seemed a little skeptical, and then they kind of stopped showing them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I kind of noticed. I was like, oh, they didn't go back to that guy. Like, and see how he felt about mm-hmm. it. Like, they left out certain things. And I think that one, you're right, that it did kind of balance it a little more, where you're like, there's still some people who aren't fully on board with this thing. And yeah, I appreciated that.
Have you ever either tried or been offered to participate in like a wellness trend and been like, yeah, like something really weird, something bonkers?
I don't think I have. I don't know if I'm people's like go-to for that. Because I really want to make fun of stuff. So like, I'm not the ideal person to bring into the scenario, but I like to give myself up to things, mm-hmm. but it's like, I have to be put into the thing. Yeah. Like, that's hard for me. Mm-hmm. I have gone to a few psychics, but I did it for a podcast. And so I think that's also the thing. I'm like, I'm like afraid of psychics a little bit. I think it's like almost like I believe in it too much. But then I went to these like psychics and like I left kind of thinking, no, it's not really real. Like, I went to one mm-hmm. energy healer, and that was the one I liked the most yeah. because she was like, and I also could see how she kind of got to a lot of the stuff that I was, you know, feeling mm-hmm. and saying. And but at the same time, I was like, I felt something. So even if I did like offer up a lot of the information, I still left feeling like buzzing a little bit and something happened. And like, that's cool. Like, even if it's yeah. not fully real, I can still have a good time.
Yeah. Like, but even if something is just a placebo effect, I will take it. I'm absolutely like yeah, willing to take it.
There's still an effect. Like,
I've never done Reiki, but everyone I know who does Reiki is like, I was very skeptical of it, but the moment they put their hands above my chest or whatever, I just started sobbing. It's like, I'm into that.
You're reminding me. I forgot I did Reiki, and it was offered to me through Instagram. So actually, I could say yes to your exact question. I have been roped into a random thing like this. And it wasn't that long ago. I don't know why I forgot. Yeah, it was interesting. I went to like this Malibu resort, and they were like, you can come for a day and hang out and like do this Reiki thing mm-hmm. for free or whatever. So I was like, that's interesting. I'll go see what that's about. Mm-hmm. And I had seen a few friends post about it, so I thought maybe it was real. And it was one of those things where like I was crying immediately, but I think part of it is like I feel so vulnerable in a situation like that. Like, I'm so like embarrassed and like I just feel like there's like nothing to protect me. Like, I'm like laying there and they're like, talk to your inner child. And what would you want to say to that little girl? And then like I say something like humiliating and like cry. You know what I mean? It's yeah. just like, of course I'm going to have an emotional response. Like, this is insane.
Yeah.
But there were moments where she was doing stuff with like, you know, not touching me, and I still felt things. So mm-hmm. I do believe in some of that like energy stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what that is, but it's cool.
It is cool. To go back to Gwyneth Paltrow, you said you were a fan of Gwyneth Paltrow and you think she's so cool. And it wasn't until watching the show that I feel like I understood Goop.
Yeah.
You see her as a skeptic kind of in a way. Like, she doesn't seem like someone who's, you know, the snake oil salesman. She does seem like the cool person who's like, yeah, prove it. And it just so happens.
Totally.
I don't know. It just happens that often they do. And I think that's one of the keys to this all working. Like, it couldn't just be any celebrity doing this. Gwyneth really helped.
I agree. Yeah. Cause like she's kind of an enigma, mm-hmm. like just as like this sort of A-list person who you see in movies, but there's not a ton of her being herself
right.
out there, you know? And she has this company that feels so like, you know, impossible to like figure out mm-hmm. and break into. And it feels so elite. And that, but also accessible to everyone in this weird way. Like, it's like public, but like you can't really, mm-hmm. you know, like, and then should you get a jade egg? Like, there's always some sort of like thing, like controversy yeah. happening with it. And then seeing her, it was like, oh, she's like, she did seem so real in this series and like normal, which sounds impossible.
Right.
But she did seem that way. So I don't know.
It maybe.
And even with like the diet, like, watching her like do the diet was fun.
Yeah. I was like, do I need to intermittently fast as well? Maybe.
I know. She was like getting really grumpy though. And I was like, I don't want to do that.
Every once in a while I would take a note. And during that episode, when I was like, oh, I'm dying for chia pudding. I was like, who else but Gwyneth Paltrow would ever say that out loud?
That feels like the punishment that the diet would like make you eat that. Like, I don't yeah. want that.
I can't deal with chia pudding. I can't deal with overnight oats. It's like the wrong texture for me.
No.
It's like, absolutely not. Even if I don't buy into all this stuff, it's like, I just like watching a Gwyneth Paltrow thing. ultimately.
I know, and I just like looking at her, and I like hearing her talk, and like she's just so pretty, and it is very soothing, and she's so put together, and like her hair is perfect. And then when you see her do like the push-ups, I'm like so impressed. Like, she's very strong. I just think she's like very cool.
Yeah, when she was like, I can only do 14 or whatever, I was like, I think you can do more, Gwyneth.
Like, okay, and also like only 14 is a lot. Like, I'm like, I can do push-ups, but they're not as good as hers. Mm-hmm. And like, they're not like legit. I would never want them to be on video. And I could never do 14 and then continue doing more after that breathing thing too. It was like, no, I would have passed out.
The breathing thing, I think, is the thing I'm most desirous of trying.
You should do it.
That seems like sort of the low barrier to entry where it's like, oh, I just have to learn how to breathe and probably take this guy's like video class or whatever.
I know. No, and I mean, with the breathing one, I felt like a lot of people were really convinced by that. Like, a lot of the participants were like, oh, I have like less anxiety and I feel better. And like, yeah. I don't know, that was all
the
cool.
Woman who said she hadn't had a panic attack since. I was like, oh, I love that. I would love it.
I know. That would be awesome.
So I want to close this out by kind of bringing us back into, you know, our very bleak present. But it's kind of weird to talk about a show like this during a global pandemic.
Yes.
It's not that it doesn't make it less valuable as a show because it's entertaining regardless, but it's like, it's this interesting artifact of like, of the world right before the pandemic, you know? Like, will there be a place for this kind of wellness after we, you know, get out of our quarantine?
I mean, I think there might be, because I think people might enjoy going back to like comforts of things that were before, where you can just give yourself up to something and kind of just hope a little bit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think we're seeing right now with like just everyone being at home and in this quarantine or lockdown that like people are getting really resentful of celebrity culture. And I'm seeing a lot of that. I'm feeling it myself, even when you see someone like their palatial estate, like lockdown or whatever, like we're hanging out at home and like, you know, they're doing like bits and like having fun, and it's like there's something about it that feels so out of touch. And I think that if she were to drop another season during this, it might come across like really tone deaf. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a few months later we would hopefully in my dreams like bounce back enough. Yeah. That like we could just enjoy this again. Yeah. I hope so, because I think this is really fun and interesting.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Yeah, of course, like right now, I'm like, I'm not going to do any of this shit. I'm like just trying to like make sure I have milk. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, but ultimately, I hope that we can have more of this.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it in quarantine, so it was still effective.
Did you?
For
okay.
me. It was still effective for me.
I'm actually really happy to hear that.
Part of me is like, oh, yikes. This should not be what we aspire to after this. But part of me is like, I still want to go jump in cold water with that dude.
I know.
We're going to move on to this interview with Trixie Mattel. But before I do that, have you ever seen Tu Wong Fu? Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
Yes. When okay. you mentioned it at the beginning, I was like, that's one I should rewatch. Because I haven't seen it since I was a kid. And I'm sure I wasn't getting 90% of it.
It aged very well. It's so sweet. It's just a very sweet, good-natured little movie. The three of them are so funny in it.
It's an amazing cast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Okay, I want to rewatch that.
A good morning movie, absolutely. It'll set a good
vibe. Yeah. Okay, good. I'm going to do that.
Thank you for being on the show. This was a lot of fun. Good luck in quarantine.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I hope that, you know, you get to go see that Iceman guy at some point.
Me too. Yeah, maybe we'll meet there like next year. Yeah.
Or on an Animal Crossing island. Maybe we'll meet on the Animal Crossing island.
That's more realistic. So, yeah.
Bye, Lauren. Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye.
Today, I'm joined via the brilliantly crisp and clear FaceTime audio by Trixie Mattel. Hello, Trixie. How are you?
Oh, my God. Hello. How are you? I'm really good.
I'm really good, too, despite, you know, I haven't left the house in 3 weeks, but that's fine.
But we've all really enjoyed that. We're all just happy to know that we can go outside and we know we're not going to run into you. Thank God.
I know. All of my enemies are thrilled.
Yes. There is a lot to watch. You know, admittedly, I'm not a television watcher. Mm-hmm. So I really, on a daily basis, get excluded from every conversation. If Kati and I do that show, like I like to watch, Queens mm-hmm. I like to watch.
Yeah.
That's the only time I ever see anything.
Really?
So, yes. And the last movie, full-length movie I watched on Netflix was right before I left for tour. And I decided to just watch Tu Wong Fu. I don't know why. I just was like, I haven't seen it in a while. And it's really one of those movies where like, no matter how many times you've seen it, if enough time elapses, you're like, I'll watch that again.
Yeah. When was the last time you had seen it?
I'm a drag queen, so I probably see it once a year. Mm-hmm. But oh my God, it was so good. Of course, it was so good.
Can you remember the first time you saw it? I remember watching it, you know, in the 90s, probably on TV. I remember it was on VH1 a lot, I want to say. And I liked it. I thought it was funny, but it wasn't until maybe 10 years ago that I rewatched it. And I realized just how good it was. I guess I always thought it was fine, but it's actually a really good little dramedy, you know? Like, it's better than I remembered it being.
It's really good. It, you know, it's so good because when I watched it, I didn't really know much about it this time or ever. So this time I watched it and I did some like Wikipedia-ing of it. And I was like, it's so like tight. It's one of those movies where every single line belongs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like every single line is part of the story. Mm-hmm. Every single line is like telling you who someone is or what they're going to do or what they want. And it's like, it's almost like it's written like a play. And I read that it was written to be a play.
I was going to bring that up. I thought that was wild too. I found that out just this week. He had intended for it to be a musical. Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense though. It really does feel like, I mean, it feels like Kinky Boots are basically, you know.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember the first time you saw it?
I was a kid. Maybe it was like one of those movies that would come on like HBO or something.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 30. So, you know, I was probably like, like the late 90s, early 2000s, maybe when I saw it.
Yeah.
So weird for me to put together, like, that's Blade. Right. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Like, how did he do that? How does a straight person, no offense to straight people, but they're not really great for anything. Mm-hmm. How does a straight person, like, turn on that Noxzema character? Like, I was watching it thinking, like, all right, he's a real actor. This has got to be based on, like, someone in his life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. His Noxzema has to be like his auntie or something because it's
specific. Yeah.
I think it's hard to play drag queens with any sort of like reality. Mm-hmm. And even though she's like the bitchiest of all of them, it's so good. And obviously Patrick Swayze is so good as like the Pollyanna sort of like mother hen energy.
It's funny. You were saying that like, yeah, Wesley Snipes is Blade, but Patrick Swayze forever was like the straight hunk in like a million movies in the 80s and 90s. And now he's this convincing drag queen.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, they don't look like women.
No.
But what's amazing is the acting is so like committed. You really believe that they are professional drag queens. Mm-hmm. I will say, elephant in the room, it sort of predates the conversation of like gender and, you know, like living your life as a woman versus dressing up like a woman on stage.
Yeah.
So it is a little confusing now. If you watched it, you're like, oh, drag means transgender, because I mean they're kind of transgender how they're just like in drag all the time. But I've met drag queens who don't identify as trans, they identify as drag queens, and they're in drag all the time. Mm-hmm. Lady Red Couture dresses in drag every day and she does not identify as trans. She dresses in drag whether she's going somewhere or not.
And that made me think of the line that I think is quoted the most, the Noxzema line, the one that's when a straight man puts on a dress, he's a transvestite. When a man is trapped in a woman's body, he is a transsexual. When a gay man has way too much fashion sense for one gender, he is a drag queen. And like that line wouldn't work today, but it's like delivered with compassion. That line doesn't really bother me.
No. Well, here's the thing too. I mean, listen, I've been in drag for over 10 years. And when drag queens say things about gender or like our experience, mm-hmm. it's gospel. Like, I don't care what you read in a magazine about what you're supposed to say. Mm-hmm. The drag queens have been saying it and doing it. And you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it wasn't that long ago that drag queens would say, like, we're trannies, we're she-males, we're, you know what I mean?
Right.
And especially, like, around that time, the more vulgar, the better, because you want this word that's, like, the dirtiest to represent you because it's a little bit like a fuck you, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was sort of the energy, I think, but obviously you can't say it now. That's what I'm saying. The movie's a little confusing now because the story is, oh, they're drag queens, so they're in drag all the time. You know?
Right.
It also has a bit of Connie Carla energy where it's like they're in drag hiding.
It's Some Like It Hot, too. It's all these old movies mixed in. Like, even The Town is trapped in another decade.
Yeah, it's amazing. The town is sort of this, that's what I mean. It's like an evergreen, like, musical theater town. It's like a big town. Yeah. It only has what? Like, there's like 10 people in the town.
Yeah, there's like 4 buildings and 10 people. And there's also just like a weird assortment of like really good character actors in it, like beyond just John Leguizamo and Wesley Snipes and Patrick Swayze. There's like Blythe Danner's in it, Stalker Channing's in it, Chris Penn is in
who's
it.
Who's that woman who was in Donnie Darko?
Beth Grant.
She's literally been in everything. It's crazy because she's clearly very progressive
mm-hmm.
woman.
Right.
But she's always playing like a conservative or like a very stern
the pent up one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember watching it as a kid and like feeling any sort of like connection to any of the characters, not just the drag queens, but like, was it something that you actually had a sort of an emotional connection to growing up, or did that come later?
I think it came later. You know, when I was, those people lived in a bigger town than I did, you know. I guess I knew like there was a certain amount of gayness in it that I was like impressed by. And, you know, especially the scenes of like, it was probably my first time on TV seeing like what the TV version of inside of a gay bar, like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Right.
Or like John Leguizamo, like all these men attracted to him and not knowing he's a woman. It was a little like, oh my God, I don't know. I guess I never had attached sexuality to that. John Leguizamo plays it so good. I mean, he kind of looks like a woman.
Yeah. There's a compassion to all of their performances that is, I think, one of the things that makes it impossible to kind of roll your eyes at anymore. Like, it shocks me every time I watch it how well it's aged, and that it doesn't bug me. Like, they seem to think that this is a really, really good movie, which is kind of cool and amazing for a movie that came out in 1995.
Yeah, there's also like no computer or cell phone, so like this movie doesn't pretend to be like 2020 representation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you put that lens on it, it's like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many famous drag queens in it that, of course, I know and work with now, and I would have never known. I was a kid watching, like, Lady Bunny is in that, RuPaul's in that, mm-hmm. Coco Prue's in that, Candace Cane
is in it, yeah.
So many famous drag queens are in it, and I would have never known that I would go up and... I mean, I was not a kid thinking, like, any kid who's like, I want to be a drag queen, I think those people are lying. people don't fall into drag, like, because there's no, like, you know, night classes at the vocational school for drag, so, like, I think people kind of fall into it, but I didn't think I was going to be a drag queen. So watching that movie when I was a kid, I didn't have any sense of like, there was definitely some wonder and there was mm-hmm. definitely some like dare, like, could you imagine? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there was also like a lot of like, oh, I gay, but at least I'm not that gay.
Right.
I don't know. That movie as a young gay person made me feel like affirming that there was a situation, even though it's fictional, where people were way gayer than me.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't like, good, I can be gayer. It was like, oh, somebody's going to drown out my gayness.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the kind of things you think about when you're like a little gay kid, is like, how can I not seem gay? That's kind of your focus at all times.
One of the reasons I think maybe I was drawn to it subconsciously, I don't know. It exists in this universe that is not ours. Like, apart from the cop, the Chris Penn cop, and apart from, you know, the Michael Vartan, his rude friends, everyone in their world is really nice to them and loving to them, and strange that it exists in this fantasy land where, like, things are great. Look how great it is for, like, gay people, like, all over the country.
I think something that makes them believable, like, seasoned drag queens, is that they all... You know, drag queens are good when a group of drag queens looks... They all look like they're going to a completely different event. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, when you look at a bunch of drag queens and they all look the same, it's a little tired and it's a little like, mm-hmm. oh, this is derivative. But when you have a group of drag, like, people all the time, me and Katya, people are like, you guys never look like you are even remotely from the same universe. But like, that Vita and Noxzema are supposed to be like best friends and they look nothing. Their personal style could not be like further from each other.
Yeah, even the poster, it's like their three most iconic looks are like from different universes.
Yeah, I mean, understanding the fashion of it now, I like that Vita's sort of like, I mean, it's sort of like a Jackie O.
Mm-hmm.
Noxzema Jackson, what a hilarious name. I'll tell you what I hate though.
Okay.
I can't stand metallic lashes. And there's that opening scene where Wesley Snipes has gold lashes on.
Yes.
Ugh, I hate. The only acceptable colors of lashes are black and deep black. That's it.
What are your favorite like looks of the movie that you can remember?
Oh, I love when Chi-Chi's in that little nightie she wears no titties that whole movie. She's in that little nightie with her hair tied up.
Yeah.
And it's like that. I love that look. Oh my God. And there is that amazing scene where Noxzema is in a green 60s like nightie.
Uh-huh.
Because Noxzema dresses like one of the Supremes, sort of.
Right, yes.
She's in that green, silky nightie, and that's when she's like, I think Virgil's hitting Carol Ann, and she goes, most likely. I love that she barely cares about people. She said, there are times when you help people, and there are times when if you help people, you get killed, so you don't help people. I mean, she is so good. I mean, that character is so amazing. I mean, the layers there of like, let's make her like really sweet, but like a complete bitch on the outside.
Yeah, like just like
the... when Chi Chi's like, why, when they're like, why are you crying, little Latin boy in drag? which is such a read. I mean, it's so funny. Yes. So subtle, but such a read. But oh my God, the actual acting, like these men, these aren't men being hired to play their type. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Most of the time, I feel like for male actors, they get hired to play the same person over and over again. They're themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Chris Pratt is Chris Pratt in every movie. You know, like every like big male star like that is the same person. The Rock is The Rock in every movie.
Mm-hmm. Are there other movies that, not that Tu Wong Fu got drag perfectly right, but like what are movies that you think have gotten the drag scene, even if it's only a small part of it, like really well?
Oh yeah. I mean, Priscilla's pretty amazing. Yeah. It's crazy because so many people are like, I love drag. But you know, I always say, like, if you say you love drag, but you only watch a reality competition show, that's like saying you love singing because you watch American Idol. Like, it doesn't make any sense. I love cooking. Really? Do you cook? No, I just watched Top Chef. I don't know if you like cooking. It doesn't really count, but the Brady Bunch movies, I mean, I think those are pretty close to drag. I mean, Christine Taylor as Marsha is full drag.
Yeah. And the RuPaul's Pee-wee movies, in them. Briefly.
And RuPaul's in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Pee-wee movies, I mean, that's pretty amazing as far as like drag movies. Oh, and any Elvira movies.
Okay.
It's hard to think of another movie that, like, I don't know, Tu Wong Fu really did it so, so well. Julie Newmar was at DragCon once, like 4 years ago. She was like wheelchairing around signing stuff.
Wow.
And I was like, that's Julie Newmar. Wow.
Do you think that this is a movie, like Tu Wong Fu is a movie that you will keep revisiting for like every year, like you said, for the rest of your life?
Of course. It is one of those movies that if someone hasn't seen it, they're going to get like a side eye from me forever. Because it's not just because I'm a drag queen. It's because like, it's one of those movies that if you've never seen it, you've actively avoided it at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been around for so long.
Because it's always on every channel and like it's on every in-flight movie. It's everywhere. I mean, it's also not too sexual, which is great. Isn't it like PG-13? And probably only because they're in drag.
It's PG-13.
If it got re-rated, it probably would need to be PG-13.
Yeah, watching it again, I was kind of like, there's like the threat that John Leguizamo was about to get assaulted. But apart from that, it's like very much like a PG movie. It's like almost a G-rated movie.
Yes.
It's so like innocent.
And then we haven't really talked about Stockard Channing, but she really gives a performance in that movie too.
She really does. And I weirdly think about Stockard Channing and her scary fucking husband. It's literally every time I'm cooking and I put like spices in my food, I think about, it's like, I thought about it yesterday.
Virgil's going to come in and
I think Virgil's going to come in and start yelling at me over spices. It's any spice. Anytime I pick up a spice jar, I think of Virgil getting
triggered,
mad. Yeah, yes. No, it's like scary. And it's been like 20 years of this.
I also love when, what's her name? Vita goes to like fight Virgil.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, she's going to hurt Vita so bad. And she goes, something we need to tell you about Vita. Vita works out. A lot.
I also love the way Stockard Channing says Adam's apple when she
Adam's apple. She's so good in it though. And I like to think that Stockard Channing is probably one of those people who had gay best friends their whole life. She probably read this and she was probably like, if I don't get this part, I'm gonna kill myself. You get the sense sometimes from actors that they are really doing it because like they really want to be in that movie.
Yeah.
She really gave such a good performance. And then at the end when she's in drag with the little baby hairs combed out.
I like Priscilla a lot, but I saw this first. I think I'm endeared to this one a little more.
This one makes such a fabulous musical.
Yeah.
I always talk about when I'm rich and famous and what musicals I would produce so I can have the perpetuity of a financially successful musical running from Broadway. Wouldn't this one be great? I mean, you could write specifically music that sounds kind of 90s.
And like you said, like the setting, the small town setting is just so like classic, you know, musical theater.
Yeah, and the fact that no one knows they're women, it's almost like Shakespearean,
yes.
Where it's like, this doesn't look like a woman, but we're going to pretend no one would clock that. The honesty and like the purity of some of these characters in this town, it's so cute. I also like that it's very rare that people from a small town get portrayed as like good people.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like why I love Phyllis Neffler in Droop Beverly Hills, mm-hmm. because a rich person never gets portrayed as nice either, unless it's Phyllis Neffler or Cher Horowitz. I guess like in closing, if you think of a movie that maybe for a lot of straight people, this was their first idea of drag.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're really lucky that we had these characters and these voices like speaking for us, mm-hmm. because if this movie probably primes a lot of people for the idea that people like me exist. Mm-hmm. You know, it eliminates a lot of conversation. It eliminates a lot of questions because there's an inherent understanding. You know, it's like when, you know, you don't understand gay people until somebody you know comes out as gay, and then suddenly it all makes sense. That's what this movie does for people, because it paints the people so real that when you finish the movie, you feel like real things happened, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that is a great way to end it. So thank you so much for talking to me about this. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.